You know, doesn't that, I just feel like that tells us everything. If we do not want violence on our subways, and the point of our justice system is a level of accountability to prevent a person who does not have remorse about taking another person's life. I mean, even people who have engaged in manslaughter or have taken a life accidentally express remorse.
How you feeling?
Good.
Yeah.
He's feeling good. He's feeling good.
What's up?
Come together. How's it going? How's it feel?
Feels great. He's finally got the justice he's deserved.
Did you think it was going to happen?
Sorry? No, we think that this is should have happened probably on day one, but the point thing is it happened. So we can't control the timing of it, but we can certainly savor the outcome.
I do believe in the sanctity of life, and I think that's why I felt, along with so many other Americans, joy, unfortunately, you know, because it
joy?
Feels like...
Serious?
I mean...
Joy in a man's execution?
Maybe not joy, but certainly not, no, certainly not empathy. Because again,
we're watching the footage. How can this make you joyful? This guy's a husband, he's a father, and he's being gunned down in the middle of Manhattan. Why does that make you joyful?
It's a montage of stupidity.
We
got a weird news cycle. We do. Welcome to the show. We have a very weird news cycle where we're covering a million different things today. And make sure that you sign up for the newsletter too, because there's all kinds of stuff that I put out regularly on that, and it's all good stuff that you're going to need to keep you up to speed with everything. But so much, we've got this killer, this, I guess you could call him assassin, right? The assassin, the CEO, the United Healthcare CEO. That guy was arrested, the guy who's everybody's names, they're like, it's Luigi. We've got all of this stuff with foreign policy, and then of course we've got domestic, and then we've got this ongoing just meltdown of the left, which I feel like they're trying to make a big deal. I got to say, I was having this conversation with a friend of mine last night. I feel like they're trying to make a big deal of like some of these nominees, etc., because they don't have anything left, and they haven't even done a post-mortem, which, you know, you know that they have not even done a post-mortem of why it is that they lost and what can they do to make things better. They haven't even done that. So it's just, I don't know. It's and then we're going to the Christmas season. It's a weird, weird, weird news cycle. All right, so welcome to the show. Dana Lash here with you at the top of this first hour, and number of stuff, like I said, that we're going to be touching on, and you heard some of it just right off the top, some of the stuff that we're going to be touching on. So first and foremost, I think, where do we start? Let's look at some of the cabinet stuff, because I feel as though those fights are over. Even though they're still in the press, I feel like those fights are over. Am I alone in thinking that? I mean, you still have the headlines, and you're still going to have the confirmation process, but by and large, I think those fights are over. I think Republicans are understanding the importance of making sure they hit the ground running in January. I mean, at least I hope so. But it feels like because they know that, it really just does feel as like that fight. I think except for Hegseth, I think his fight is mostly over too, I think. Do you think that Trump is behind him enough? I think he could have come out with a little bit of a stronger statement, but do you think that he's behind him enough? I don't know. $1 million question, right? He might be. Maybe. We'll see. But what else are they going to object to? What else is there to object to? Everything that has been put out about him is out. What else left is there? For real. I mean, what else could you possibly have left? Nothing. Nothing. I was reading about some of the momentum of it, because you had, I think it was what, Punch Bowl News that said that it looks like he's going to be successful with his bid. Punch Bowl News reporting that I thought was pretty significant. And then Joni Ernst yesterday, didn't she come out and say that she was happy, or that she met with him and she felt that they had good conversation, and as a result, she, you know, feels confident going forward, et cetera, and she supports him and all this stuff. I don't know if the pressure campaign had anything to do with that. I think some people are giving themselves way more credit than they deserve. I don't think that there was any kind of influence or pressure campaign that had that did that. I think it was, you know, maybe her just talking to him. I don't know. Because she never had a campaign against him. That's what I don't understand. These people are like, oh, well, she was railing against him. Was she, though? I never saw her doing that. Am I, correct me if I'm wrong, Kane, which I don't think I am. I'm not saying that just to be, you know, just for the lack of anything better. I mean, she did not have a campaign against him at all. So this, and we'll come back to this, because there's, the rest of the cabinet picks are like, meh, meh, you know, it's like, it's by and large, it's meh, meh, it's, they're kind of, the rest of them are kind of boring, if I'm being honest. I mean, it's all important, you can go read about it, but I'm not going to sit here and regale you with tales about, you know, some of these lower, lower in influence positions. Now, one of the other things that everybody's watching is the latest with this assassin. I don't know. I think I have even more questions about this guy. Right? Do you have any tinfoil for this, Kane?
What do you mean?
It's just weird. It's a weird story. This is a weird dude.
Oh, no doubt about it. And seeing the family worth and the value and the fact that they actually had a hand in healthcare.
Was he just acting out?
Yeah, I don't really know. The narrative, you can see the narrative being built, though. And then they put the picture out yesterday of the weapon. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's all coming together, the story.
I do think it's weird that the left, and we, this is one of the video cuts that we played coming in to set us up with this. It was a little weird that the left was like, well, their attitude, this cavalier attitude, is though the guy deserved it because he worked with healthcare. That's weird.
That is.
How far off are you that you feel like this guy deserved to get axed because, right?
Yeah.
It's weird. His background, this dude's background, his family. I don't know. It makes me want to ask, was he on psychotropic drugs? What? I've got questions. But the pictures are interesting because some of the pictures, like the one that Juan just showed, he looks like relatively happy and kind of normal, right? But then there are these other photos, like his mugshot. Well, of course, you know, it's his mugshot right after he murdered somebody. But there's those where he just looks like he's dead in the eyes. Right? I'm not going to tell you. Well, I'm going to tell it. So, because I don't want to be so news heavy that you guys are just drowning. Because you guys are going into Christmas. Half of you are drunk on eggnog right now. Let me be real with you. So hold up. So my great aunt messages on Facebook last night, right? And I never check my Facebook messages. I'm not going to check. I can't stand to check Facebook messages. I don't like messages. I was so excited when, you know, texting became a thing when I was like growing up. And like, remember when you're growing up, when you're young adult and you get email, and email's the coolest thing ever. Now I'm like, why do people connect me out, try to call me on these devices? Leave me the hell alone. So anyway, my great aunt, I don't know. And I looked it up. And normally I don't do this, but I looked it up and it was a legit photo. It was his mugshot and then the photo that Juan had shown where he was smiling. And my great aunt was like, he's dead in the eyes. Look, something happened. She's like, he's dead in the eyes. I'm like, it could be the lighting, you know. It could be some of the lighting. So Juan's showing the photo. And my great aunt was like, his eyes, he looks alive in this photo. And then the mugshot photo, it was like a meme that was side by side. And then this mugshot. She's like, look at him. He's dead in the eyes. I'm like, well, he did just kill somebody. So she has this thing that he was like recruited by some shady group to axe this guy. And that he was turned or something. I don't know. That's my great aunt. That's, you know, that's great aunt B's, you know, that's her contribution to this topic. No, you don't. I am never letting the two of you talk, what? Ever. It's never going to happen.
You don't control me.
You think that you're tinfoil? You haven't met tinfoil. She's made of it, literally. She doesn't listen to me.
Why wouldn't you suggest that friendship?
She does her church stuff in the afternoon. What?
Why wouldn't you suggest that friendship?
Yeah, I'm
Facebook?
Not doing that because you and my mother are bad enough. Anyway, I mean, he did just murder somebody, so it's probably why he looks dead in the eyes. I'm just saying, right? Yeah, I feel like that's a pretty safe thing to say. Yep. So, I don't know. As this information comes out, because now they're trying to argue, oh, well, you know, he had a ghost gun. He had a ghost gun. He had a 3D printed silencer. Ghost gun, silencer. Oh, all the trick words are coming out. Oh, boy. Yeah. Oh, man. It means his gun was so totally silent. You know that, right? Wow. Yeah. There's a lot of gun control talk coming up from this guy. I just want to put it out there. I saw this last night. The Hill had a piece where they were talking about his ghost gun. Ooh. You knew this was going to come. You knew some way they were going to make it. They're going to make this about it. So, he used a suppressor, and he had one of those ghost guns. Ooh, now what does that mean? You guys know what a ghost gun is, right? It's a stupid made up term. That's dumb. That's what it is. I don't know if you knew that, but that's what it is. So, a ghost gun is a legal thing to do. You can be a hobbyist and you can make a firearm and you can use it, you know, for your own personal uses. You can use it for whatever you want. You just can't sell it. Obviously, you can shoot with it. You just can't sell it. Then you have to get it serialized. That's an actual law. And so what the argument is, and what I see with the narrative that I see developing around this story, is that, oh, well, here's another example of ghost guns. We're going to have to make it to where any hobbyism surrounding firearms is completely criminalized. We need to criminalize it. We also need to, we need to make sure we keep suppressors on lock. I see this story developing, and the way that they put, he had a suppressor. He had a silencer. It makes it totally quiet when he's shooting his victims. I actually saw blue checks, people who work in media who are talking about this yesterday. I'm just going to say, keep a bookmark on this, keep a note on this, because this is going to come up and it's going to stay in at the top of the heap as it pertains to gun control. But you don't see a lot of gangbangers out there with this guy's background, and that's who drives a lot of the crime. They're not printing guns out. They're not printing. And by the way, ghost gun, you're not 3D printing a gun. 3D printing a gun, still, maybe you're going to be lucky you get a couple of rounds out of it. I mean, it's still, you're talking about black market acquired firearms, or you can get kits and you can make them at home. But again, using anything in commission of a crime is a crime, including if it's a gun that somebody made at home. And if you're selling it, you have to serialize it. That's federal law. This has already been established for quite some time. There's no new ground that they're covering here for which there isn't already federal law. I just want to make that point. I'm going to come back to this because there's several other aspects of the story that are striking. Also, the latest with Syria, and we're going to get into it. We got a whole bunch of stuff to get into. It's kind of what the news cycle is weird, and we got stories that are totally unrelated and all over the place, but we're going to try to organize them for you the best we can to make sure that you're set up. Life can take a toll on our bodies. There's no way around it. And whether it's just sitting for hours on end at your computer or if you're working a physical job, over time, your body pays the price. There is, however, an effective way to turn back the clock on pain. Relief Factor. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor helps support your body's response to inflammation. And the difference, instead of just masking pain, Relief Factor helps eliminate it for good, and it's 100% drug-free. My husband Chris has taken Relief Factor with incredible results. So if the pains that come with living a full life are affecting you, do as many others have done and turn back the clock on pain with Relief Factor. Their 3-week quick start is just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. And when you feel good, it's amazing how much more you get out of life. Visit relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. Try it for only $19.95 and turn back the clock on pain with Relief Factor. Relieffactor.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Yay, it's another disease. No, wait, I don't mean that. Disease X outbreak widens as the UN is sending a health team to Congo. Oh, what is it? It's a zombie disease. You're all going to be zombies. We're all going to be eating brains in the desert. I'm joking. It's over 400 cases of an unidentified illness marked by fever, headache, cough, runny nose, body aches. It's in, I don't know, it's in the health zone in Southwest Congo. And they said that a 50-year-old man was hospitalized in Lucca, Italy. He's recovered from the disease after a business trip to Congo. It sounds like it's just a bad upper respiratory thing. It sounds like a cold. Kane, it's a cold. What are you telling me okay for? It's a cold.
The next story.
No, you said okay, like, yeah, sure it is.
Well, I mean, the next story is interesting.
Oh, great. So there's the Disease X outbreak that Juan's showing you on the simulcast. Now we've got hundreds of vials of deadly virus. Oh, great. Viruses missing after a lab breach. Can we not? Can we not do this? You know what? It's Christmas. I want to be able to, like, we were all sick over Thanksgiving. I want to not have any issues over Christmas. Want to celebrate birth of my Lord and Savior. So now in Australia, somebody down under stole some vials of live viruses. It's gone missing. The Queensland Health Minister, Tim Nicholls, announced today that 323 samples of live viruses, including the Hendra virus, the Lyssa virus, and the Hanta virus, went missing in 2021. Oh, thank you. Thank you guys for just telling us now. Kane, what is the year?
2024.
Oh, this went missing in 2021. Great job, Aussies. Thanks for telling us. They said it was a serious breach of biosecurity protocols. That is the best Australian accent I could ever do. But I could only do it like an Australian newscaster. I can't do it any other way. Robocommies. We got to talk about the all-terrain spherical robocops that China is using to chase down criminals and everyone it doesn't like. Coming up. Stick with us. If you're looking for a convenient, affordable way to access medications and treatments you can trust, All Family Pharmacy has you covered. Whether it's the flu or parasites, cancer support, or general well-being, All Family Pharmacy's online service makes getting the medications you need hassle-free. With All Family, it's simple. You can choose the individual medications that best suit your needs or opt for one of their comprehensive treatment packages designed to give you everything that you need in one convenient order. And every order comes with a doctor's prescription included. Ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, or any other effective medications, they have it all. And you can get fast shipping with most orders shipping in 2 to 3 business days. Medications start as low as $3 per capsule, making it really easy to take charge of your health without breaking the bank. No insurance needed. You can skip the paperwork and get the treatments you need directly. Stock up with their emergency preparedness bundles and access over 200 medications online anytime. Visit allfamilypharma.com/Dana and use code Dana10 for 10% off of your entire order. That's allfamilypharma.com/Dana, code Dana10.
Keep your finger on the pulse with the Dana Show podcast, delivering timely news with insightful analysis whenever you want, straight to you on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I just feel like that tells us everything. If we do not want violence on our subways, and the point of our justice system is a level of accountability to prevent a person who does not have remorse about taking another person's life. I mean, even people who have engaged in manslaughter or have taken a life accidentally express remorse.
What? So first off, that's AOC who's talking about Daniel Penny, and she's saying in this audio, the verdict that came out yesterday, that the subway is going to be safer if we just lock him up. I am so tired of the violent criminals getting the pass and then blaming the innocent people that stand up and do something to stop the violence. Stop it. Stop blaming. Daniel Penny did not do a damn thing wrong. He has nothing to feel remorseful about. You know who should feel remorseful? People like AOC. Girl, where are you a lawmaker at? You're a lawmaker in New York City, girl. Why have you not done anything about the lawlessness and disorder? Crime has increased in Manhattan by a significant amount. I wrote about this, made mention of it in my piece last night that I sent out on Substack. It has increased significantly. Violent crime, rape, assault, all of that, robbery, all of this has increased dramatically. And you know who's not responsible for that? Daniel Penny. You know who is, though? After the criminals, when New York City doesn't lock people up, when you slap people on the wrist and they're allowed to walk free, You know, Daniel Penny wasn't the only, and we've talked about this case before, but I want to come back to it. He wasn't the only case that was like this. You guys remember Tommy Bailey, right? I talked about him and subsequent pieces or previous pieces. I mean, you had a guy who saw a female cop being attacked and he stood up for the female cop and he ended up being stabbed. And you know what the city said? The city's lawyer said, well, you know, and this is true because there's two court cases that now, three really, that establishes precedent. They said, well, police have no obligation at all whatsoever to protect you. No obligation. This particular dad, because you have the Mr. Bailey, this particular dad was Joseph Lozito. He was trying to subdue a madman, Maxim Gelman, and he stopped him, but he ended up getting injured. And police said, "Oh, you know, the state said, oh, police don't have a right to they don't have to help you, they don't have to protect you, they don't have to do anything, they don't have to do anything like that." That's crazy. Or Tommy Bailey, he was the guy who, the Brooklyn dad who was stabbed. Alvin Charles was charged. Alvin Charles, 43 years old. He stabbed Tommy Bailey to death, attacked him, stabbed the dad in the neck. And you know how they've had this, I don't even want to call it justice. They don't even have a system there. Alvin Charles should have been in jail already. He had a long rap sheet. He should have been in jail for a long way. I mean, they have no idea why he was able to, you know, be out. He was able, but that's New York, right? Look what they did to the, who was it? Jose Alba. Remember Jose Alba? Jose Alba defended himself against a guy that was going to kill him, rob him and kill him. And Jose Alba defended himself with a blade and they sent him to Rikers. And then it was only after extreme pressure did they allow Alba to walk free. To go because he was defending himself. You're punished if you defend your life. You can be wrestling with an attacker right in front of police in New York and New York State and in New York City. They're like, yeah, no, our police don't have to get involved. What do you think is going to happen? AOC is part of the problem. How long has she been quiet about these issues? She's from this. She represents part of the damn city. She knows crime has increased. She knows there are certain parts of that city she won't walk around in by herself at night. I've gone to Manhattan for years and years and years for work. Years. Since I was in my 20s, I've been going to Manhattan. And I used to be kind of fun. And then it just started getting bad again. And I was talking to folks who've been there their whole lives. And they're like, you know, it's starting to get like it was before Rudy. It's starting to get like it was when they had all that crime in the 80s. And they were saying, yeah, you don't remember this or you're too young, but it was real bad in the 70s and 80s here. And then they were talking about how Giuliani was helping to clean up the city, et cetera. And they had some new reforms put in. Now they said it's all sliding back to how it was. Everybody's leaving. I cannot tell you the number of people I've met in the past few years that have left New York City and they've moved to either Florida or Texas. They have left. Business owners, like successful people, people who aren't in business for themselves. Every single type of line of work you can imagine, every demographic you can imagine, people are fleeing that state and they're fleeing that city. If they lived in the city, they don't even want to be in the state. Once they've lived in the city, they went out. When you look at the crime there, that they forced Daniel Penny into that position. So to hear somebody like AOC say, well, we need to keep Daniel Penny. Why don't you do your damn job and use the influence that you have instead of trying to act smart on TikTok? Why don't you, I don't know, maybe go out in a meet space in your own borough and try to do something about the crime there. Encourage prosecutors to maybe actually charge people the full amount they can charge them. No plea deals that allow these perps to walk. Maybe use your influence for good instead of just bitching on social media 24/7. It was like in St. Louis. You guys remember the story? And you remember this, Kane. We talked about it. That's when Kim Gardner was still in as the DA there. Soros-backed Kim Gardner. She's not there anymore. But this is when she was still there. Do you remember in St. Louis, downtown St. Louis, on Cherokee Street, out in broad daylight, Cinco de Mayo? And there's video of it. There is literally a still of it. where you had two people who opened fire in the middle of the street, broad daylight. You see the chick with a gun. She's got a gun in her hand. Open fire, broad daylight, firing off shots, injured somebody. The man violated terms of his bond. He wasn't taken into custody. What in the world? They didn't charge them. They did not charge these two people, despite the fact that they are literally on video firing guns at people. You remember this story, Kane?
Oh, yeah.
This is what I'm talking about. I mean, New York really isn't that much different. This is a crazy story. You have this, you have Jose Alba, and this isn't just St. Louis or New York. This is like so, this is everywhere. Everywhere. So to hear her, well, you know, it would be safer if we locked up people like Daniel Penny. It would be safer, actually, if we locked up people like you. So you're prevented from encouraging the rot that is restorative justice. People like you who fail to fulfill their duty to the oath of office through which they swear. Daniel Penny was forced into that position. I am not going to have my right to self-defense sacrificed at the altar of identity politics. And I'm not going to be brainwashed into thinking that lethal force is off the table when a criminal would use lethal force against me to subdue me. And I sure as hell am not going to be told that because I refuse to be the victim that I am the aggressor. Not going to happen. There's a war on self-defense in this country. And it has nothing to do with guns, really. Guns are just one of the variables, one of the ways at which they attack it. But this, I wrote about this, again, if you get this piece. I don't know why they want to prop up this Neely as a saint. Do you know, I always make mention that he had busted an elderly woman's nose, broke her orbital socket, he broke her the bone in her face by her eye. There were two instances. I left one out. He had also broken an elderly man's nose in 2019. He was arrested 42 times in 8 years. He broke an elderly man's nose in 2019. And that was 2 months after he broke the elderly woman's orbital bone. And then in 2015, he was arrested for trying to kidnap a 7-year-old. So there's all records for this. He had an active warrant out for a different assault the day that he met Penny. Where was AOC during this whole time? Because you know some of the crimes that he committed, also the assault that he had the active warrant out for was recent. It was fresh. Where was she at? Oh, we got to stop these people from assaulting other individuals, passengers on the subway. They don't say anything until someone's forced to step in. It's just asinine. Asinine. Now, a few other things I want to make sure that we're touching on too, because we were been discussing this healthcare CEO's assassination. This is such a weird story, and of course, you know, at first I was like, it's odd the guy's got this Ivy League background, and then I thought, of course he's got an Ivy League background. Does that mean to think? Because of course he does, and apparently. If you play 6 degrees of separation, Steve is in what, like 2 degrees out from this dude? And I was asking Steve on break, is it a mob hit? What was it? But this dude, this Luigi Mangione, super wealthy family, Ivy League educated. He had multiple degrees. He was apparently lefty. I think people have been trying to portray him as like being right-leaning, but he followed AOC. He followed a bunch of people on the left. He really was an anti-capitalist. He was into the climate stuff. He loved the Unabomber's work, his written word, I guess. He apparently left a 4-star review on one of Kaczynski's things that he wrote. So yeah, he's not a right-leaning person. And I know the left only wants to be able to say, oh, well, this is somebody on the right. That's all. But none of it fits. I mean, the guy was clearly angry at this healthcare CEO for something. I don't know. Maybe if he got tired of hearing that, you know, insurance. I don't know. I don't know what it was. I don't know what. It's so weird. It's such a weird story. The family's very quiet. No word from them. Very quiet family. Nothing from, but they're very well healed. He doesn't look the part and it doesn't fit the part. It's just very odd. But something had to, something. But this dude wasn't on the right. What, could he have been a disgruntled customer? I don't know. That, that what he wrote on the shell casings in that book that was critical of the health insurance industry is like the only insight that anybody has. But then if you're, you know, critical of the health, I mean, it couldn't have been something with that had to do with affordability because he came from a super rich family. That was never going to be an issue for him. So I don't know. I would love another press conference for some insight on this, right? But I feel as though if they don't think that the narrative is, if the narrative compromises anything that, you know, with the left, I feel like we're not ever going to know. It's just, it's just weird what we find out, the cases that we find everything out about, and then we learn everything about the perp, and then the cases where you don't hear anything else about the perp. Like the dude who tried to kill Trump. When's the last, you didn't really hear a whole, you don't really hear a lot about him either, do you? Nope. Interesting how quickly they scuttle that. Think about how often you've heard January 6th and how the left has tried to make January 6th like the thing. We had a guy who literally tried to assassinate the president-elect of the United States. And the left is like, well, I don't have nothing to say. If it had been them, oh my gosh. We have Days of These United States on the way. And also coming up, a few things. The I read about how these, there were a bunch of these intel officials that signed this letter against Tulsi Gabbard. They don't want her to be the intel chief. Regardless of what you think about Tulsi Gabbard, my question was, are these the same intel officials that signed the letter about the laptop being disinformation? I'm like, what's the Venn diagram on that? Where's Kamala? She loves those things. Mm-hmm. We're going to discuss that. We got a whole bunch of other stuff to get into as well that you don't want to miss. As we move, a lot of the other coffee companies out there that say they roast their beans here in the USA, they don't. They get it from Canada or Brazil, and then they put a sticker on a pre-roasted bag, and then they sell it like it's fresh. Let's be real. Black Rifle Coffee doesn't do that. Veteran-owned, veteran-operated. They hire active duty and vets and retired. And they just do, they do a really good job, and they're nerds about coffee. And I'm glad that they're nerds about coffee because I don't want to know how it's made. I just want it to taste good. And Black Rifle Coffee has so many amazing roasts. They have their Freedom Roast right now, which is totally what the Founding Fathers would have drank if Black Rifle Coffee like had anachronistically existed back in the times of our founders. They totally would have. You know, Washington would have had a cup a day. More. You can save 20% using code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com. Every sip of the Freedom Roast is a celebration of liberty and a tribute to those who fought for our awesome republic. You can subscribe to their coffee club, get your free shipping, automated orders sent straight to your doorstep, and never, ever, ever run out of your favorite coffee. No need for last minute trips. And if you're stocked up on coffee, but you still need some Christmas ideas, they got a whole bean, K-cups, ready to drink, apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, and more. Their apparel is really popular, by the way, with the young dudes too. So just an idea. So get your freedom on with the Freedom Roast. Check out the merch at blackriflecoffee.com and taste all their top shelf roasts like Just Black, Silence or Smooth, always a favorite. Whatever you decide, though, 20% off with code Dana. 20% off code Dana, blackriflecoffee.com.
Get the lowdown on the latest news with a side of laughs whenever you want. Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Now, if you're filing jointly and you have a family, you need a little more, right? Mm-hmm. Families are expensive. How about this? $500. $500. For families earning less than $300,000, because I know life in New York City is expensive and your salaries may sound nice, but they don't go very far.
I wonder why that is. Why don't the salaries go that far? That was Kathy Hochul, the governor of New York. She's proposing $3 billion in direct payments to 8.6 million residents to fight inflation.
Oh, is that going to fight it?
Yeah.
It's not going to make it worse?
No, that's Democrat math, you know. It's Democrat math. I love how she literally pulled back the curtain or unveiled, sorry, the check. She's like, yeah, look, it's like $500. Oh my God. States don't cause inflation, though, because they don't print money and they don't do that. Your taxes can make it worse if you have tons of taxes, which New York does. Wow. So she wants to pay everybody off. $300 to $500. I think $500 is the max.
Single and joint, right.
Hey, will they get a 1099 from the IRS on top of it?
Probably.
Let us help you. We're going to send you money. We're going to take half of. We got more on this. I think they get dumber. I really feel like they get dumber. Stick with us. We got a lot more on the way. Burn a gun thinks gun-free zone signs are stupid. Burn a gun thinks waiting periods are also dumb. And burn a gun doesn't care. It goes to all 50 states. You can have it right at your front door, which is awesome. If you are one of those individuals where you sometimes have to leave your house and sometimes you have to go to gun-free zones, even though you don't want to, but it's not a choice, you want to make sure that you can still protect yourself, especially if you are in a lawless and disorder area. And this is where Byrna comes in. It's shoots chemical irritant projectiles that can disable threats from up to 50 feet away. Stun guns, they only got one or two rounds. Byrna SD, the most popular model, has 5 rounds. And there's, you know, no recoil, quick target acquisition. So you can have a super fast response in a high pressure situation as well. So you still have means of protecting yourself. And I'm always about diversifying your defensive tools. I think it's very important, especially, like I said, when you got to go to places that are, you know, considered gun-free zones. This is like the Byrna SD is the most popular model, over 400,000 units sold. And again, no waiting period, no background check, legal in all 50 states. It's the Byrna SD. It's their best-selling model. And it's a great diverse option, another alternative option for self-defense. I always carry. I tell people I'm not afraid of lethal force, of using lethal force on folks that are trying to harm me. But when I am barred from carrying, and sometimes I am because of work, I want to have something that is going to be more than just one or two rounds. Byrna SD gives you 5. So check it out, Byrna.com/Dana, BYRNA, Byrna.com/Dana for 10% off.
Get really dangerous.
I'm going to phrase it slightly differently, and you guys can tell me if I'm completely wrong in saying it this way. You know, later in the night, we're also going to talk about Penny and the verdict there. Mm-hmm. There you also have a victim who somebody determined did not deserve to continue living, right?
No.
Yeah, tell
no,
me. Tell
no,
me which. Tell not... me which vigilante action is okay.
What do you mean vigilante action? So someone's not allowed to defend themselves? So no, it was Jordan Neely who decided that Daniel Penny and everyone else on that in the subway at the time that they could not just exist peacefully. He was in their faces threatening them. Why do these people assist in the violence of these absolute thugs? So I don't know who this broad is on CNN, and I don't care to learn her name because her opinions are so stupid. She's not going to last long in this industry. So it doesn't matter that we know her name or even note the spelling of it. She's just another stupid opinion that is, you know, platformed by CNN. That being said, the idea that something was done to him as opposed to he was doing things to other people that they did not deserve, that made them feel unsafe and was frankly dangerous. And so they were defended. Why do people omit that? I find that disgusting. You're a racist if you're omitting that. When I hear people talk about this story, the first thing I do is when I hear that they completely omit Jordan Neely's criminal actions, his violent record, the fact that he was, you know, threatening to kill people, including mothers and children on that in the subway platform. I can't take those people seriously anymore. There's not a conversation worth happening. Those people think that women can get raped and get assaulted and their children can get kidnapped and everything else. And that none of those people can do anything to stop it, because if they do, they're infringing on the right of the criminal to take advantage of them. That's what this is. I guess, you know, some of these progressives think that if, depending on what your skin color is, you have a right to hurt other people. That's the God's honest truth of it. That's fact. They honestly believe this. They think that they are, that they, in order to settle the score, some people got to be hurt. So they believe. I'd say, you know, prove me wrong, but you'd waste your time because there's no, I'm right. It's the truth of it. I just can't believe that, you know, he wasn't a victim. He was victimizing other people, but he wasn't a victim. That's like blaming, you know, well, your skirt's too short or something like that. It's just asinine. The hell is wrong with these people? What the hell is wrong with some of these people on the left? Seriously. I don't want to ever hear those people complain if they are put in a position where they have to defend themselves. Because they're trying to criminalize defense and say that if the, depending on the person's ethnicity, you can't defend yourself because that's racist. Now, defending yourself from attack is racist. If you're a woman trying to shield your baby in a stroller from a guy screaming that he's going to kill you, it's racist if you defend yourself or if someone else defends you. Why don't you try that with your family? I dare say none of these people who take that position would like it if they found themselves a victim of Jordan Neely. And apparently there were a lot of them. 42 arrests in 8 years. He battered old people. He broke bones and faces of elderly people. He tried to kill a woman by shoving her on the subway tracks. He tried to kidnap a 7-year-old. Oh, these were arrests. Absolutely. There's a record for him. His family was nowhere to be found until they smelled money. It's just some of the, just a horrible, horrible take from these people. And then you have, we were talking about, we played this last hour, Audio Soundbite 7, but Taylor Lorenz, when she was, Taylor Lorenz is, isn't she, she's like some 50-year-old who pretended that she was 30. So it seemed less ridiculous if she wrote about Taylor Swift. And she's, she got fired from Vox or something like that. I don't know what her appeal is other than she's a good avatar for the stupidity on the left. And it makes for, you know, content that you can work around. But there were enough people on the left that said that they enjoyed or that they celebrated or that they felt joy over watching the CEO be gunned down in the middle of the street. Listen to this, Audio Soundbite 7.
I think that's why I felt, along with so many other Americans, joy, unfortunately, you know, because it
joy?
Feels like...
Serious?
I mean...
Joy in a man's execution?
Maybe not joy, but certainly not, no, certainly not empathy. Because again...
We're watching the footage. How can this make you joyful? This guy's a husband, he's a father, and he's being gunned down in the middle of Manhattan. Why does that make you joyful?
Of Americans that be murdered. So are the tens of thousands of Americans, innocent Americans, who died because greedy health insurance executives like this one push a policies of denying care.
She's like somebody who read one essay about health insurance in college, and now she thinks she's an expert. What is she even talking about? So because she doesn't like the way health insurance works, and by the way, health insurance is that way because you stupid morons, the Taylor Lorenzes of the world, make it that way. We could have it be portable. We could have it to where you could make insurance companies compete and you could purchase across state lines, et cetera, carry it with you wherever. But you know who fought against that? Democrats did. Democrats fought against it. They were the ones who barred that. That was Republicans that were trying to make that happen before Obamacare was passed. They had like 13 other proposals. For all the people who get out there and say Republicans had no proposals to Obamacare, those people who say that aren't educated enough to be included in this big kid conversation. The people who say that didn't pay attention enough to their own government. And so they need to stay out of this conversation and let people who do know what happened actually continue on the merits of fact, because there were 13 alternatives to Obamacare And every single one of them were shot down by Democrats who controlled everything. And numerous proposals included the portability, you know, keeping it untethered from your work. It's asinine that your job provides you with, has to provide you with your health insurance. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. You should be able to get it for yourself. It should be affordable, and you should be able to use it like you do car insurance or something. One of the other reason is people use insurance wrong. That drives up the cost too. The dumb Taylor Lorenzes of the world. 50 years old, and you act like a 15-year-old bimbo. I don't get it. Like, what the hell is wrong with you? Like, arrested development, that one. Oh, I don't feel bad. Make sure you quote me accurately, Media Matters. And then please make note that I don't have enough middle fingers to give you salutes. You George Soros lotion boys. Anyway, it's true. Let's be real. This joy that you feel, you created the situation. He's just running one of the companies, and you created the regulations in which he has to operate. You created the framework. He has to operate in that framework. Why are they mad? They're mad because of what they created? They're mad because they don't like the conditions of insurance? They're mad because they made it a hellscape? Just so dumb. And Obamacare's trash. It absolutely is trash. But that's what, you know, and the other difference, and Kane noted this, to even compare the healthcare CEO to Jordan Neely is one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. The CEO had no idea what was happening. He was walking in a different direction, and this cowardly trust fund socialist came up behind him and shot him. Jordan Neely was threatening to murder people in their faces after he's already tried to murder people. So this is, I just not even. This is so goofy. But they feel joy. They feel joy. I bet she would have felt joy. I bet if they watched, if there had been footage of Jordan Neely threatening to kill people and getting in the faces of these women, scaring the babies that were on the subway train, on the subway car, I bet that the Taylor Lorenzes of the world would have felt joy at that too, wouldn't they have? Because they're psychos. Would they have felt joy watching a mother try to shield her child as Jordan Neely was screaming about how he was going to kill them all? Does that get them off? Makes me wonder. These people are that messed up. How messed up are you that you actually have that enthusiasm over that kind of stuff? These people have a screw loose. And I'm not talking about the Jordan Neelys. I'm talking about like the CNN lady and this bra that we just played on Piers Morgan's whatever. What the hell is the matter with you, you soulless cretins? Y'all need Jesus and a Bible for Christmas. That's what y'all need. Good night. It actually makes me enraged. It makes me enraged. Meanwhile, Daniel Penny and his lawyers were interviewed by the New York Post audio Sunbite 5. They were celebrating his not guilty verdict. And you know what? It was weird because I was watching all the video footage of this, where they were, I guess they stopped by at a bar and had a celebratory pint. And he still is very, and I'm going to use the word correctly, Gen Z, demure. And he's just very polite and he doesn't really talk a lot. And he says hi and then he walks away and his lawyer talks for, you know, and most of the stuff that I've seen. Watch this. This is Audio Sunbite 5.
How you feeling?
Great.
Yeah.
He's feeling good. He's feeling good. He's feeling good.
What's up?
Come together. How's it going? How's it feel?
Feels great. He's finally got the justice he's deserved.
Did you think it was going to happen?
Sorry?
And he walks out. Good for him.
No, we think that this should happen probably on day one. But
he seems like a very reluctant hero, too. And, you know, you had those BLM people who were screaming about him not being safe in the city. You know, one of the things that people don't remember is that when the jury was made up of predominantly women, and it was black and white, and every single one of the jurors voted to acquit him. So all the people who weren't there in that courtroom and the people who weren't there around for Neely this entire time, maybe they should, you know, shut up about that, because these people were, they saw everything. And good for him. He just kind of, I don't think that you're going to see him. I know he's talking to Jeanine Pirro, but I don't think you're going to like see or hear him. I don't think he's going to pop up like on the lecture circuit or anything like that. He seems like a very reluctant kind of hero, doesn't he? And not at all how the left needs him to be in order to make their narratives work. Shame on them. Always ready. ReadyWise is always ready. And they have the best premium survival food that's out there. Everything else, there's just, look, I got to be honest with you. Survival food doesn't have to taste so bad. And you guys know what I'm talking about because some of it is really bad. ReadyWise is not like that. This is premium survival food, but it's affordable. They have an array of product choices to meet every budget, like the emergency one-month supply, the two-bucket bundle that they have. They have a three-month emergency food supply. Everything they have is designed by their team of in-house culinary experts because they're meeting your nutritional needs while also providing excellent variety. And you know your chain of command for your food from start to finish. U.S. ingredients packed in a U.S. plant sent out to your doorstep. So you know where your food's coming from. Plus, you get free and fast shipping on most orders, making sure that your U.S. provisions reach you promptly. And they just provide better taste. I mean, these are actual meals that taste good because they're real meals. And it's all with ReadyWise 25-year shelf life. This is comfort in a crisis and beyond. Visit ReadyWise.com and use promo code Dana20 at checkout for 20% off of your entire purchase. That's ReadyWise.com, promo code Dana20 for 20% off.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So The Guardian, which is a left-leaning POS over in Britain, says that the college enrollment rate is falling at a concerning, or the college enrollment levels dropping at a concerning rate. Fewer 18-year-olds are enrolling, especially at four-year schools, but the number of applications continues to grow. I think there needs to be a reworking of the college system entirely. I think it's absolutely stupid. It's a racket. I think that they try to charge you thousands of dollars to take stupid, idiotic humanities classes that do nothing to enrich one's mind, further one's education, or have anything to do with their major at all whatsoever. And I think that if any college receives any kind of federal money and they require these students to take these stupid courses as part of their, their degree coursework, they should be penalized. Personally, I mean, honestly, it's really is stupid. The way we run higher education is one of the dumbest aspects of this country. It really is. And thanks, left. Thanks for doing that. Thanks for consolidating all of the tuition and the loans and driving up costs for everybody. Tokyo adopts a 4-day work week because they're desperate that women have more kids. They do have a huge issue over there as it relates to population size. Their population growth is been super slow. They said their fertility rate plummeted to a record low of 1.2 in 2023. Super low fertility rate. So they're implementing a 4-day work week for their employees beginning next year, offering them 3-day weekends and family-friendly options. And they said that they have to do it to support families. Also, you know, it's a cultural thing and an economic thing. If you could have more families live comfortably on one income, you would probably see more. If you had lower taxation and less government spending, you would probably see more able to make that choice. And I think that not just here in the United States, but I think that that goes for any country, anybody, because this is something that's affecting everybody around the world. Here they go. Here they're setting up the narrative. Telegraph, another left-leaning POS in Britain. America's economy risks massive Trump slump. They're setting Trump up to... I told you this was going to happen. We both told you. Kane and I told you. We talked about this, Kane, for weeks. They're going to do this. They said, here's the first sentence. Donald Trump risks tipping the U.S. into recession if he follows through with the promises made on the campaign trail. So if Republicans... Here's why Doge is going to have... And we'll talk more about this. Here's why Doge is going to have its work cut out for them. Even if they were to suggest all of these cuts to Congress, Congress still has to vote to implement them. That's number one. Number two, you see these headlines? That's just the start of it. If you have Republicans actually commit to austerity and reduce government spending and lower taxes, they are going to hammer the GOP with headlines like these. Absolutely. They're going to hammer them with these headlines because look what happened in Greece when they just tried to implement austerity. People were rioting in the streets. So just saying, that's something to think about. This study says regularly posting on social media may worsen mental health in adults. Oh, I completely agree that. Mm-hmm. I completely agree with that. In fact, there's most adults, I think, on social media, not us, but everybody else. I think that they live up to this headline hype. Stick with us. Our partners over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country. Patriot Mobile has a ton of affordable plans that will work for families of any sizes, businesses of any sizes. And right now, you can get their Every Friday Matters special. They're giving away a brand new smartphone when you make the switch. And it's easy to make the switch. They have a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. They're going to make it easy. You can keep your current number. You can get a new one. It's whatever you want to do. But you'll get a free smartphone as part of the offer using promo code Friday. And when you switch, you're only supporting the things that you vote to protect with your money. Patriot Mobile doesn't work against you. And it's great to have a like-minded company like this, especially when it's the only one of the cell phone services that are like this. So it's a free smartphone. Offer eligible only using promo code Friday as part of their Every Friday Matters special. Limited time or until supplies run out. Terms and conditions apply. Make the switch today. It's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT.
Make some common sense of the crazy headlines with the Dana Show podcast. Your on-the-go guide for getting up to speed on today's most important stories. Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or your favorite podcast platform.
Look, let's start with a common ground. Just like some Americans commit crimes, there are some immigrants that have committed crimes. If they're going to provide additional assistance from the federal government to track down, apprehend, and deport people who've committed crimes in our country, we are happy to cooperate, help however we can.
I was so distracted by the bright McDonald-like green of Jen Psaki's jacket that I almost missed the stupidity that was Jared Polis just then, or Polis, in that soundbite. Like, what in the green screen color hell is that? Stop it. First off, it's not spring. And that Kelly green is a spring color. Oh, this is where Dana gets really... I turn into, like, all my great aunts and my granny. Girl, that is not a color that you'd be wearing in December. It is Kelly green. It is not an evergreen. So that is a spring tone. All right. Now, can I touch on what you're... First off, welcome back, Dana Lash with you. Chats at Rumble, 347, DirecTV, watch us everywhere, X, etc. This is Jared Polis saying, well, we're happy to track the people who commit crimes, but not for the people who follow the law. Talking about people who come into the country. Durr! That... If you come into the country illegally, newsflash, you just broke a law. Just like you can't go into a store and get a five-finger discount. You know what I'm saying? That's also breaking a law. You can't bust up into someone's house uninvited. That's also breaking the law. I mean, you can't enter places like other countries, people's homes. There's a process. See what I'm saying? And if you don't follow that process, that doesn't make the people saying you broke the law bad. It makes the people who broke the law bad. I can't believe you got to spell it out like an Elmo terms.
How much do I have to tell you people?
I mean, like, you know, do I got to use puppets?
Don't enter illegally.
I mean, how difficult is that? I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not doing that voice again. So don't ask.
No.
So he's happy to track the people who committed crimes, not the people who follow the law. Good job, Jared. You figured it out. That's what we already do. That's what we should. That's how this works. I don't get him. Am I missing something? Did I miss something? Why did that's like the dumbest thing. And then you have this Dick Durbin audio soundbite 12, please.
In addition to weakening our military, it would cost hundreds of billions of dollars to deport every undocumented immigrant in our country. It would damage our economy and separate American families. Instead, we should focus on deporting those who are truly a danger to America. And we should give the rest a chance to earn legal status.
He's like audible melatonin. He's like the opposite of an energy. Well, he's not like an energy vampire. He just puts you to sleep. He's audible melatonin, Dick Durbin. We should give lawful status to, I love this phrase, all non-criminal illegal immigrants. That's like saying non-criminal shoplifting. Non-criminal Grand Theft Auto. If you, again, enter the country illegally, that's a crime. In Pig Latin, it's called a rhyme K. It's a crime. It's a crimity McCrime. That's how you say it in Scottish. So, I don't know what he's talking about. Lawful status to people who broke the law a little bit. I mean, you break the law or you don't break the law. If you come in legally, you're not breaking the law. If you come in illegally, then it's you broke the law, thus the word illegally. Why is this so hard for these people to understand? Are they racist? Do they think that people who are coming to the United States from other countries, do they think that they're unable to enter illegally, to enter the legal way? I mean, it's not difficult, you know. I mean, unless you're coming across the border. It's trying to dodge cartels and sneak across the Rio. I mean, you're not going to sneak in any other way. I don't get it. Trump was saying that, the DACA thing, we talked about that yesterday. But he further explained his point. He was saying, well, if talking about family units. He's like, I don't want to separate families. So if you got two people that can stay here and one can't, that one's got to go back. But if you want to stay together, you all got to go back. Okay, that's perfectly reasonable. That's actually how it should be. I shouldn't even have to say that's perfectly reasonable. That's just how it should be. But reason is, we have a deficit of reason almost more than anything else. Just, I don't know. That just wild, wild, wild positions. And that makes sense, though. But I got to get over this whole thing that this assumption that they treat legal entry and illegal entry like it's the exact same thing. It's not. It's totally not. I mean, you guys know this, but, you know. All right, a few other things to touch on. Let me pull up some stuff here. Okay, so we got to talk about some of the Christmas stuff. And particularly, two things with, one's with the Pope. I don't know if you saw the creche where they have like this. It's sort of like a giant diorama. I don't know how else to put it. It's usually a biblical story laid out in a scene. It's like a 3D thing. It's called a creche. And with Pope Francis, apparently, I guess they put one up and pulled this up. He inaugurated a new nativity scene, Southern Missouri. I call it nativity, called Bethlehem 2024. It's in the lobby of the Vatican. Now, okay, that all sounds well and good, right? You got a nativity in the lobby of the Vatican. I've been in the lobby of the Vatican. It's huge, huge area. So they put this, and Juan's showing you the photo of it. Notice something that in the photo that Juan's showing you. What is the baby Jesus laying on? He's laying on one of them Hamas picnic blankets. And it's a symbol of the pro-Hamas folks. And I guess it's part of the whole setup. What?
Jesus was a Jew, right?
Yeah, Jesus was so totally Jewish. Huh. Jesus was a Jew. Jesus was Jewish. They called him rabbi for crying out loud. He was Jewish. Why is he laying on a pro-Hamas picnic blanket? And the creche. And, guess who was with the Pope when he unveiled that? It was the PLO, the Palestine Liberation Organization Executive Committee member, Ramzi Khoury. And he was there on behalf of Mahmoud Abbas, the PLO president, Mahmoud Abbas. Huh. And Khoury thanked Pope Francis for his unwavering support of the quote-unquote Palestine. I don't like saying Palestine or Palestinian because it's a fake place and a made-up ethnicity. So I don't like saying that because it is. It's not any, I mean, you, it's not supported by biblical history. It's not even supported by the Quran. It's not supported by any religious text. 2,000 years of antiquity don't support it as a singular place or an ethnicity of people. So Gaza, I like to say Gaza. Gazans, that's a correct term for that geographical area. And their government is literally Hamas, like they voted for them. So pro-Hamas, it's accurate. So they had Corey thank Pope Francis for his support of the Gazan cause. And they want to end the war on Gaza that their government started. Their government started the war, killed a bunch of people. I just find it, I'm just shocked. That's who the Pope had with him. The Pope had him with him. There, unveiling this crash. What? Are you, really? That's who he had with him. Kane, what are you typing? Just say it. Say it, don't spray it.
No, I was just saying, I'm not sure Jesus ever had a... Now, are they called those keffiyehs?
Yeah, I call them picnic blankets.
Picnic blankets. Mm-hmm. Not sure Jesus ever owned one at any point in his life.
Yeah, I don't. It's not historically accurate. But,
tough one to get my mind around.
I mean, it's just kind of weird that he has the Hamas, you know, Gaza guy there with him. And they're like, yes, you know, thank you for trying to end the war on Gaza. What do you mean the war on Gaza? Gaza had a war on Israel. Your elected government did it. Hamas. You still have babies in captivity. The hell are you talking about? Oh, the war on Gaza. All you had to do was release the hostages. You walking mental abortion. All you had to do was release the hostages. That's it. Oh, but you didn't want to. So now what? What are people supposed to do? My gosh, if someone busted into my house and kidnapped members of my family, I would literally boil everyone associated with it in acid after I flayed them publicly on my front yard. Oh, I'm not joking. I would go further. See, I need Kane, sidebar. I need to be in charge of torture. Yeah. So, but Dana, we live in a republic. This is why I can't be president, because I come up with fun jobs like this. Ministry of torture, me. Just make it with me. And it can end when I leave. But I would be really good at this. So good at this. Like, I have a particular set of skills, okay? I have some skills. You want to know what my skills are? I can do a cat eye liquid liner like nobody's business. I can do it in three motions. I'm so good. Number one. Number two, skee ball. Oh my gosh. If it was an Olympic sport, I will win so many gold medals for our country. I can get 100s all day long. Boom, boom, boom. It's like I'm so good at it, right? So I got a particular set of skills. I can do things. I can parallel park in two moves. Anything. Give me a semi. I'll parallel park it. I have weird skills. I have crazy, weird trivia, a crazy weird trivia mind. So I can do, if you have really weird trivia nights, I'm your ringer. Bring me in. Can't fold a fitted sheet, you know, can't do that. You know, but there's other things I can do well, but those are some of my top skills, right? And, I feel like this would also be one of them, devising ways of torturing one's enemies. And so I'm totally fine with being in charge of that. Minister of torture. I wouldn't call it torture. Minister of enhanced.
Interrogation.
No, I don't like interrogation. It's too aggressive. And remember, they ruined that in the early aughts. They ruined the whole phrase. Minister of enhanced. Questioning. Sounds way less harsh than interrogation, doesn't it? Right?
Just a quiz.
Or enhanced cooperation.
Just an enhanced quiz.
Yeah. That's the technique. I'm totally fine with it. Remember, by the way, back in the aughts when it was all enhanced interrogation and waterboarding? And I'm like, why are we feeling bad about waterboarding people caught literally in the battlefield in the war on terror? Why are we? I don't feel bad for you. If you're hanging out with terrorists, I don't care. Why waterboard? Just drown. Just keep them in there. Why? Why are we feeling bad for terrorists? If you're capturing them in acts of terrorism, why is there any kind of feel badness about it? Right? I wouldn't be waterboarding because that's just an aggressive baptism. I would keep you under. So. Anyway.
I think we might just added our last band name of the year right there. Aggressive Baptism.
Oh, that would be so good. It's like a prog rock Christian band, right? Yeah, and everything is in like drop D. Be great.
That list will get debuted next week.
Sweet, sweet, S-A-H, wheat. All right, so back to my whole thing. So he has Mahmoud, he was conveying thanks of Mahmoud Abbas. Oh, but I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet because we still have to touch on this. But then there was the thing that they put out. Yeah, I don't know if it was the Vatican, but it was like Catholic.org, their big magazine, where they had the gender stuff. We got to talk about this. All my Catholic friends are up in arms. They're like livid at the Pope. They're livid at this thing. They're mad. I'm like, it's Christmas. Why are your leaders doing this? Why? So we got to touch on all that.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
All right. So it's a couple here. I always like going for the weirdest ones first. Well, I want to do the bug one. I'm going to do this one. Florida man was arrested at Disney Springs after he got drunk during. No, wait. What is this? It was a show. Oh, it's
yeah, House of Blues.
Oh, it was the House of Blues. Okay, because it says at Hawthorne Heights show. I'm like, so you're telling me a guy got drunk at a nightclub? And they're like, wow, he's in trouble. Is that right? Ryan Tomasco, 38. He was arrested for trespass, disorderly conduct, and resisting an officer without violence. So this was all the way back in August, but apparently they're all doing this now. He got kicked out of this House of Blues show for being drunk. And, okay, so why is this news?
It happened at Disney?
In front of kids? Who's got their kids at a nightclub? That's like taking your damn baby to a bar. Not like a, no, let me rephrase that, to a tavern. There's a bar and then there are taverns. Y'all know what I mean, right? There's a difference. It's like having your baby in a tavern. Know what I'm saying? Like, why would you bring your kids to a club? You know where people are going to be drinking and listening to loud music. Why? I don't get it. And they're shocked when a guy drank and was falling all over the place. Look, my grandparents used to run a tavern. I saw many a drunk person get thrown out of it. Just saying. I don't know. Like, you're shocked? I mean, he shouldn't have fought with the officer, but I don't know. I don't know what I think about that one. Let's see. This, oh, man, we're running out of time. Okay, I'm going to have to tell you about the scumbag Florida realtor tomorrow. That'll be in tomorrow's Florida Man. Third hour on the way. Stay with us. Welcome to the program. Dana Lash with you. Top of this third hour now. Third hour. And it's good to be with you. You can find us on X, chats at Rumble, Channel 347 DirecTV. You can also Facebook, YouTube. I said Substack, right? Yeah. Kane and I were talking about going and seeing live music back and on break, going into this. And then you guys told us that Mitch McConnell just fell down. There's video of it. It was at the Capitol. Can you imagine just being a lawmaker? Everything you do in the Capitol is on tape somehow. I mean, I kind of like that, but at the same time, it's like, you know, Mitch McConnell, I think, is having some issues. I mean, obviously, it's why he stepped down from Senate leadership, but that was one of the things that apparently happened. So I hope he's okay. I mean, is he okay? Do we know?
He's getting medical treatment right now.
Yeah, he's getting medical treatment right now, but yeah, he just, goodness. So he's 82 years old, right? Yeah, 82 years old. So we've gone over a number of things. The ongoing fallout of the Penny verdict and some of the insane narratives that have been pushed through that. It's a little nuts. And we've also, we were discussing, a little bit ago, we were talking about this installation that they have in the Vatican's lobby where the Pope showed up with one of the Hamas guys, one of the PLO dudes, and they were looking at this creche, and they got the Hamas blanket under Jesus and all this stuff. It's kind of unbelievable. And then I'm trying to pull this up, but I'm having a little bit of difficulty right now. There was, because you know everybody puts out this, like, the gender stuff. Like, they all have to virtue signal. all these, they, how it's companies and everything else. Well, now apparently we're seeing religious institutions. I mean, I've seen some churches do it, but now we're really starting to see some of these religious institutions do it too. And I'm going to pull this up because this was, it's U.S. Catholic Magazine. So it's the magazine. And they said, gender diversity has been part of the Catholic Church since the very beginning, as saints and key Catholic figures lived as what we would today call non-binary or trans, to mirror a God who supersedes all human constructs. That's probably one of the most, that's a dumb thing. That is one of the dumbest things. That's absolutely, first, it's heretical, number one. Number two, gender is God's construct, and those saved by Christ are saints, per Paul. I'm telling you what. Where's Martin Luther? You're going to need another reformation if people keep doing this. First, it's that the creche with the Hamas blanket under the baby Jesus, and now it's this. There's going to be another reformation needed unless this, some stuff ends up straightening itself out here. Good heavens. But I don't know. To see this, and do people, I guess people just expect that from this Pope. I don't know. All my Catholic friends say he's super lefty and nobody likes him. I'm like, well, how does he get Pope? This is like some Borgia level stuff. Like, how is he Pope then? If nobody likes him, if he's super unpopular with like every Catholic I know. And people are, you know, criticizing him in written word repeatedly everywhere. I don't know. A couple of other things also to touch on. And yeah, I just actually, so he's getting, I just saw a picture of this. I had mentioned it. I just saw another thing. Mitch McConnell, yeah, he's getting medical treatment. They showed up. I guess he's in his office. And he is getting some, he's getting care at the Capitol. I guess he's in the office. So hopefully all is okay. I would hope so. Couple two going down my list here because I have so many odds and ends and all of this stuff to touch on. For instance, so the Biden-Harris administration, this is another, this was the week, within the week after Trump won the election, they granted Iran another $10 billion in sanctions relief. Free Beacon has the story. This is one of the things that I was reading this morning. They waived sanctions on Iran 3 days after the election. They provided Tehran access of up to $10 billion in funds that had been frozen. So it's sanctions relief. So they're giving them $10 billion. That is according to Free Beacon, got receipts. They got a copy of the non-public order transmitted to Congress, so they were able to see it. The Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, had determined on November 8th, quote, that it is in the national security interest of the United States to waive mandatory economic sanctions that bar Iraq from transferring upward of $10 billion to Iran in electricity import payments. The Biden-Harris administration, they had renewed that waiver and repeatedly over the objections of congressional Republicans. And they wanted, because what does Iran use the money for? You unfreeze money for Iran, and then what ends up happening? Oh, suddenly Hezbollah and Hamas. Hamas has all these rockets. Ooh, how did that happen? Well, it's because of we're giving them money. That's why we're unfreezing assets that had been frozen as part of the sanctions. That's why when they say, no, we haven't eased sanctions. Yes, you absolutely have, because this was part of it. Now, the most recent iteration of this waiver lifts sanctions for 120 days. So they try to get around it by saying, no, we're only lifting sanctions for X amount of time. Oh, it's only 120 days this time. It's only this many days. So you can't say that we're easing sanctions because we're just doing it temporarily, is how they put it. So when they put it to Trump, so when he comes in, he's going to have to determine whether or not Tehran will continue receiving relief, which, as you know, that's not going to fly. So no, they're not going to receive relief after January 20th. Not going to happen. Although I will say, during the first administration, or the first term for Trump, he did greenlight the same waiver during the first, his first term. And, but it was edited, revised to be very narrow so they could restrict how much access Iran had to cash. So the Biden State Department, they were the ones who revised it even after that, and to allow them to convert funds from Iraq's currency to their currency, to euros. And then they wanted to hold the euros that they had in Oman in a bank account. So, yeah. And the State Department confirmed last week that it issued the waiver. Huh. Hmm. So Tehran's going to have a lot. They're going to have another cash infusion at a time when they are completely destabilized right now with Syria, with Hezbollah, and to say nothing of Hamas. Hmm. Now, while Trump did greenlight the a version of that waiver during his term, where it was tailored to restrict their access to cash and what they could do with it, they were blaming him, a lot of the Obama people, for nearly bankrupting Iran during his first term. So he said he's vowing a maximum pressure campaign on Tehran. So I don't see, there's not going to be any, I would be shocked if he continued to greenlight this waiver and just didn't end it outright. I don't understand what the purpose of it does other than give them access to cash. It just helps them, especially right now when they're dealing with the fall of Syria, which also is weird because Biden, they're trying to take credit for that. The Biden administration is trying to take credit for Assad leaving. Now, keep in mind that everything was sort of a stalemate all throughout Obama, Biden. Everything was, you know, not so much during Trump, but then it turned into a stalemate again for Biden, almost like they were trying to hold everything in pattern so that they could limit the uprisings too when Trump was in office or if a Republican was in office. And so they're trying to take credit for bringing down Assad while simultaneously issuing a $10 billion waiver to Iran. Does that make any sense to you? Because remember, that's all part of that Shiite crescent power grid that they were trying to establish, Iran and Syria, and then with Hezbollah and Hamas, they wanted to have this like Shiite Muslim, you know, power influence to try to rival that of the Sunnis over there. Does that make sense to you? They're bragging about taking down Assad, but they're giving also Assad's BFF in Iran $10 billion waiver for sanctions there so they can access cash. None of that makes sense. But it's the Biden administration. When has it ever made sense? It's never made sense. Come on, like it's asking him to be sensible now? No. No, no, no. All right, got a couple of other things. In addition to that, we were talking about the New York $500 inflation refund checks for people. Kathy Hochul, we played that audio earlier. They want to give people, what is it, 8.3 million people between $300 to $500 to fight inflation. Math. Because that's how you fight inflation, more government spending. Where does that money come from? Huh. Oh, you know what they... You know where she says what she says she wants to do to fund it? They want to have they want to use it from surplus sales tax revenues. Yeah.
Surplus?
Mm-hmm. Surplus sales tax revenues. So tax revenue. So sales tax revenue. Where you go out and purchase things and things are already more expensive due to inflation and they're going to get more expensive because she needs the money to send people $300 to $500 a piece. Kane?
If I were to leave today, living here in Dallas, Texas, and just took $300 to $500 with me to New York, how long would I last?
Not even a day.
Yeah.
It's an expensive city. And that's not if you're not even if you're doing anything bougie. You don't even have to be doing bougie stuff.
Right.
I mean, if you want to do budget and eat processed McD's and fast food, you know, you'll be set. Walk everywhere or take the nasty subway. I don't take the subway. Everyone's like, I love how the left tries to act like that's the measure of if they're one of us, if they're one of the poors. I took the subway. You don't have to expose yourself to that petri dish of human excrement needles and everything else. You don't have to do that. It's nasty. Subways are nasty. And if you're a germaphobe like me, oh my gosh. Closest I've ever been to full-blown neurotic like break was being in a subway. Because, not because of anybody, but because of the stuff. It's so nasty and it smells like eggs and pee. It's weird. It's the weirdest smell in the world. I can't describe it. You get the gas stench when you go up. But yeah, down in the it's rough, man. It's rough. I don't know. It's just gross. So I can't. $300 to $500 higher sales tax.
That's why I couldn't imagine being a citizen of New York, knowing how much it costs, and then my governor says that they're going to give me $300 to $500.
Yeah,
I'm like, how about you just fix what you're doing wrong as a government?
Does that mean the billionaires that live there on the Upper East Side are they going to get the super people on Fifth Avenue and you know everybody who lives around you know like the now like the bougie part of Hell's Kitchen and all that and you know the flat? Is it all those people get $300 to $500?
I think those are the people actually contributing, so that other people can get $300 to $500.
Okay, really, this is so goofy. But this idea that this is going to help it, or maybe you guys could just I don't know stop spending. How much money have they spent on illegal immigrants? They've spent, I mean, five times that on illegal immigrants. But you get $300 to $500 of your money. They spent 3 to 5 times of your own money on illegal immigrants. But you get $300 to $500. Thanks, Kath. Thanks. Yeah.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
You guys know Dominic the Donkey? Of course you do. All right. A pilot explains the real reason that phones need to be in airplane mode. He says it's not a conspiracy. It can actually have an effect on radio communication. And the pilot, they're not actually real fanatical about it on the flights that I've been on. But they said that, yes, it has to do with it's not a conspiracy. Is it, though? I still feel like it's completely overblown. I mean, I'll do it. I mean, if they're looking at me. Sometimes I do forget, though. Have you ever gotten on a flight and you just like immediately fall asleep? And I just totally don't even remember to do any because I'll be out. So I don't know. But they said that if you're using like headsets and that, they said apparently they can pick up a buzz, so that's why you're not to use your phones. I went really long last segment, so I'm cutting you short for headlines this time. Apologies. But we're going to be back in 2 and 2. Stick with us.
Subscribe to the Dana Show podcast, because who says you can't make fun of people while staying informed on your own personal time? Subscribe on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome back. Dana Lash with you. So when they had that killer, Luigi Mangione, who was screaming, when they were bringing him into custody, and this was earlier today, there's a video of him screaming at everybody. He was screaming at the media while entering the courthouse, saying, this is super unjust and all this kind of stuff. Did you see him? He's the guy who murdered the United Healthcare CEO, Brian Thompson, downtown Manhattan. And he's going up. They're taking him into jail. He's got his orange onesie on and he starts screaming at the media saying, oh, this is so unjust. I don't know. He said it's an extremely unjust and an insult to the intelligence of the American people. And some of the other stuff was inaudible. So I don't know what he's talking about that's unjust. What is insulting to the intelligence of the American people? Kane, what are you making that face for? Kane's going...
I mean, it's an interesting thing to say.
Yeah.
If you're somebody in his position. If I'm someone who, you know, assassinated someone and I'm getting taken in, those aren't going to be my words. So that's kind of weird.
And what do you think it's indicative of?
I don't know. I mean, it just seems weird that when they did find him, everything the police needed for evidence just happened to be on him in a backpack. Okay.
Interesting.
I guess.
Let's explore it a minute. So, and again, we're just speculating just because it's so weird. It's a weird story. And, you know, I'm not saying any of this is definitive. We're commentating. We're speculating on it. So that true. It's everything was very conveniently found on him, including his, you know, like his ID or whatever, all this stuff.
Yeah. Different currencies.
But what if it was something? So if it was a hit, what would the purpose? Why? Like a United Healthcare CEO, a guy who apparently, even though the wife said he had threats, didn't take them seriously enough or didn't think they were serious enough to merit having a security detail. And maybe he thought, well, I'm in Manhattan. I don't need one. Because Manhattan, downtown Manhattan, typically, like not on Times Square, but Avenue of the Americas, which is just east of it, is, you know, I get it. It's weird. Like what, for what purpose? And him, like the multiple degree Ivy League rich boy, just a weird, because his life is gone now. I mean, he killed a dude in cold blood. I mean, he's in forever. So I don't know. Like what would the, it's just all so, I'm trying not to be conspiracy theory, but what makes it difficult is that any of the reasons that people would have to complain about insurance, he doesn't. This is not like, what was the movie Denzel Washington was in where he was like, hold up in a hospital because he couldn't get his kid treatment or something like that.
Yeah.
It's not like one of those situations. This dude comes from a uber wealthy family. It's just, that's why it doesn't make any, it just doesn't make any sense. I don't know. It's just very, very odd to me. But I don't know. It's just like it's very, very interesting. Don't know. You're in Conspiracyville.
Well, look,
we're trying to do responsible radio.
I have a second home in Conspiracyville. You know this. Lots of tinfoil. I know that it was just not that long ago that he was bragging about working with Nancy Pelosi on a lot of the government involvement with healthcare. And also with insider trading, there was something there I saw when I was going down a rabbit hole last night. But it's weird. There's even pictures out there where people are comparing the, what's that little space between your eyebrows, where he's got like almost no space in one picture, but then there's some space in a different picture.
So he shaved his brows.
Like it's maybe two different people, or he shaved his brows.
He manscaped his brows.
Right. But I'm just telling you what I'm seeing on these rabbit holes that I travel down when I do get a few minutes. And it's... Yeah, it's weird to say the least. It's weird.
I don't know. It couldn't have. It wasn't random. That's for sure. And clearly, it was planned out. So that's why I said he's going to go away for a while because obviously had to plan this out in order to find this, get this guy's schedule, find out where he's going to be at, etc. I just don't know. I don't know. If the conspiracy theory is that it was a hit, what's the purpose? Like, that's going to make United Healthcare change anything. I mean, again, insurance companies are allowed to do what they do because Democrats created this set of regulations that's what they operate in, and it's very favorable to them. And Democrats get tons of campaign donations from them. So I don't know. The whole thing is weird. It's just a weird thing to me. And we'll follow it. We'll continue following it as it, if we get any more developments. But I thought that was just a weird soundbite from that dude as he's being led away. And, you know, he's yelling about, it's an insult to the intelligence of the American people. And I don't know, whatever. A couple of other things that I want to make sure that we're getting. It's a weird news day. We have odds and ends of different things. And we were telling you about the IRAN the Iran sanctions, $10 billion. FBI Director Chris Wray, he's getting ready to resign. And then we have this story from Jordan Neely's dad, his absentee dad, his deadbeat dad. He, in a soundbite, he said that when he was asked about the system and his son, he blamed racism. Someone said that he was standing with the Civil Rights Industrial Complex, which is actually a fascinating term. But he blamed racism for his son's death. Without any evidence. Without any evidence at all. He blames racism for his son's death. When that had nothing to do with it, obviously. Nothing to do with it. It's all about self-defense. Remember how when Kyle Rittenhouse, those people were trying to kill him? One guy had a gun drawn on him. And Kyle Rittenhouse, I thought, demonstrated excellent discernment when he was carrying his firearm. By the way, there was at one point he was on the ground and he held his rifle. And he actually stopped because he thought for a split second that that one dude was going to retreat. And when the guy decided against it, I watched that video so many times, frame by frame in slow motion. When the guy decided against it, that's when Rittenhouse saw that the threat was representing itself and he shot the guy. All those dudes were white and he was called a racist. One of those guys was got a conviction for domestic violence and the other was legit a pedophile, like had been in jail for it. And that was the guy who Rittenhouse had killed because he was trying to kill Rittenhouse. They were all white dudes and they people actually believe that Rittenhouse was running down the street shooting black people. That's what happens every single time. You even had members of that Civil Rights Industrial Complex that were holding press conferences about that. I'm like, this was in Wisconsin. And it was, what in the world? Why are you getting involved in this? It was the weirdest thing. And any time, anything like this can be used. If it's a conservative or even appears to not be progressive dude, then they will figure out a way to use that as some sort of route through which to attack self-defense. But it is fascinating how they, I mean, think of it. But now, in the meantime, when you want to talk about racism, where's Dexter Taylor at, Kane?
Sitting in prison.
Innocent black man sitting in prison for the crime of being a conservative gun owner. Absolutely. What happens, and I don't recognize anything that New York does hardly, especially as it relates to guns as being a legitimate law. I don't. Federally, you can build your own firearms. You can't sell them. You're restricted. You can build your own firearms. By the way, this is how this ghost gun thing, I'm positive that they're going to try to use this as some sort of way to justify what they did to Dexter Taylor, this Luigi Mangione. So he built his own, he's an engineer, built his own firearms, never fired them. He just wanted to see how, he just liked building them, right? It's like when you have somebody who knits or crochets and they make all these great things, but they're not for themselves. They just, you know, have them, like quilts or something. I have made myself two huge, amazing quilts. One's a granny square quilt and one's a basket weave, and I never use them. I just have them, like, you know, laid up. I just don't ever use them. Same thing. So after he had been doing this for well over a decade, New York decides to play with its laws, and they decide to criminalize hobbyists, even though federally it still recognizes a lawful activity so long as you're not selling the stuff that you're doing. So there's conflict right there between the federal court and the state of New York. And they didn't grandfather anything in. They changed their laws. And then all of a sudden, when they changed their laws, all these people became felons. Dexter Taylor's an outspoken conservative. And he's a big supporter of Second Amendment rights. So, of course, he gets raided. They find out what he purchases. His credit card company gives him up. Find out what he purchases. Raids his house. He has a completely clean record. He is a engineering nerd. He's super smart, Renaissance guy. And he's sitting in Rikers now. Sitting in Rikers. You know, the guy who, actually two of the guys who got injured, the one guy that I was telling you about who had tried suing in New York, in Brooklyn, when he got stabbed, stopping this knife rampage, and the cops wouldn't intervene. And then the city later came back and said that the cops don't have a legal right to intervene or protect you. The guy who was doing the stabbing had already been out. He had assaulted several people. He apparently was in illegal possession of a firearm at one point. And that guy was out on the streets. I think it's Alvin Shaw, the guy who stabbed the dad in the neck on the subway platform. That guy, another example, violent criminal, wrist slap, was out on the streets. He should never have been out on the streets. He was released, you know, their bail reform that they did where you could just be released under your own recognizance. You didn't have to do it. That was one of the guys that got out. Meanwhile, Dexter Taylor gets the entire book thrown at him. And they changed the judge at the last minute because they didn't want it to look like it was a white guy judging a black man. So they wanted to get a black judge. It's a true story. And then the judge was like, you cannot use the Second Amendment. You cannot cite the Second Amendment as any kind of defense in this courtroom. He's sitting in Rikers. You see how they do. They care about race so much. All these race hustling charlatans. Where's Black Lives Matter for Dexter Taylor? They can't make any money off of Dexter Taylor. You know, they were blowing through over $30 million. They bought themselves mansions. They were paying themselves six-figure salaries. They were living large. The grift is real. What was it? Booker T. Washington was saying that at one point there was a great quote that he had where he was talking about how some people don't want any wrongs to be rectified because there is a grievance industry that has been created. And when you rectify wrongs, you will put these grievance industry grifters out of work. He didn't say it necessarily just like that, but that was the heart of it. Not a single one of them out there for Dexter Taylor, though. I'm just sad.
Brighten up your timely news consumption with a Dana Show podcast, where every update comes with a little dash of not so serious on YouTube, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So this story, U.S. Border Patrol agents are warned of an alleged revenge attack after an agent ran over a Mexican cartel member. They're told to remain vigilant. So cartels apparently have put a hit out against U.S. Border Patrol in the San Diego sector because one of their little cartel members got run over by an agent. The agents were issued this warning Thursday of last week that a retaliatory shooting could happen in the coming days after this incident. It was on November 27th. It went viral online. It was a Border Patrol officer who hit a suspect with an SUV while responding to an attempt at illegal entry. And there was a cartel member involved. So the cartel's mad. And they said that the incident occurred without cause or remorse. Without cause. He's rushing to stop a crime in progress. And without remorse, he's supposed to be sad that someone chose to gamble their life in such a fashion? How is any of this his responsibility? He didn't wake up and think, wow, I'm going to get this guy to illegally come into the country and then I'm going to hit them with my SUV. He didn't think that. So the guy was on trying to scale the fence and one man briefly froze on the road and then the vehicle zoomed by and hit the dude, sent him flying, and Customs and Border Patrol, they confirmed that two people were arrested and it was during a human smuggling incident. They didn't say if the man who was hit by the car was one of them or not, but they did not name the Border Patrol officer. I wouldn't trust any reporting on anybody on any Border Patrol after that horse story in the rains. So dumb. Because they're saying, oh, he used his car to purposefully hit. Well, how do you know the guy didn't jump in front of it? You know, how do you know that? Take one for the team, right? Take a hit. How do you know he didn't jump in front of it? Legitimate question. All right. Today's stupidity came.
Okay. It's our president. Is he still our president?
I think he's still there.
Biden our president? Because It's really not feeling like that. But anyway, this is him claiming that A, the economy is great, and B, he hopes that Trump will continue it. Listen to this.
Next month, my administration will end and a new administration will begin. Most economists agree the new administration is going to inherit a fairly strong economy.
What?
At least at the moment.
What?
An economy going through fundamental transformation.
No. The transformation is you took money out of our pocket and put it into government's pocket.
And they tried to take more money out of Medicare and put it in towards green energy.
Yeah. They're not great with other people's money.
Yeah, exactly. It's so stupid. It's so dumb. So dumb. That does it for us for today. We are midweek tomorrow, halfway through the week. Folks, find us over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Go and subscribe. YouTube, Facebook, like and subscribe. I'll be back with you tomorrow.